Hey everyone, I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Everyone, it's Dr. Terry. Thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate you. I have another amazing program for you today. Now, while money is always welcome in our bank accounts, it is not always a welcome subject to talk about in a relationship. In fact, my own research shows that 7 out of 10 couples say that money causes tension in their relationship. My guest today is Amy Scott. She is a certified professional financial coach who has worked with hundreds of couples to reduce financial stress and disagreements. As a former financial advisor turned financial coach, she helps couples to get on the same page and in control of their finances. Amy has a master's degree in public health from Boston University and contends that financial well-being is a public health issue. For more information about Amy Scott or her coaching, please go to amyscottcoaching.com. Well, welcome to the program, Amy. Great to have you with us today.
It's wonderful to be here. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And I am so excited to talk to you about finances and couples. But before we get to the topic, Amy, share with us just a little bit more about your background and how you became interested in financial coaching.
I'm happy to do that. It was definitely not a straight path. Like you shared at the beginning, my background is in public health. I was doing that for many years, and it was actually my husband's and my personal experience around our finances and some of the challenges that we experience that had me get interested in financial coaching. So just a little background on me. I was 35 years old and I had two, what seemed like newborn sons. They were both under the age of 2. And I really felt like I wanted to be able to take some time off to spend some time at home with them. And I felt a strong pull that I experience with clients that I coach now, which is this desire to be able to spend some more time, to have the option to be at home with my boys, mm-hmm. and this desire to be able to contribute to my family's income and well-being. And at the time, my husband and I thought that maybe I could take a few additional months off, maybe, 4 to 6 months to be at home with the boys, when we realized that we were actually not making enough from his income to support our family. Mm-hmm. And at the time, that was kind of the jarring point for me, Dr. Terry, was in seeing this option had been taken off the table. You know, it's kind of like the rug was pulled out from underneath me because I felt like we were doing okay financially. There weren't any huge red flags. We weren't carrying, hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of debt or something. It's just that what had we not done up to that point to prepare ourselves to have this as an option?
Right. That's stressful, right? That's
very
stressful for you and your husband.
It was incredibly stressful at the time, but I'm not necessarily the kind of person who just says, okay, we can't do this, move on to the next thing. And so it was at that time that I got very interested in personal finances, dug into our income and expenses together with my husband, and saw that even though we were doing okay, we didn't have a clear picture of where we stood financially. And when we dug in and saw that actually the gap was much smaller than we thought it was, we thought we needed my entire income when actually we only needed a fraction of that. And once we got clear about what that number was, it allowed for us to pivot and say, okay, what do we need to do to be able to fill this gap? And at the time, that really gave us a plan, a pathway forward. And friends started to see, hey, what are you guys doing differently around your finances? Like, what is it? Your home? Did you take out a loan? Did you take out home equity? Like, what did you do? And I said, well, no, I've just gotten really interested around budgeting and personal finances and talking with my husband and having a plan. If you want me to show you how, come over my kitchen table. Mm-hmm. And honestly, that started about 10 years ago. And I've been on a path as a financial advisor and then coach since then.
That's a great story. Thank you for sharing that with us, Amy. So is that what financial coaching is? You were talking about budgeting, you were talking about finances, or is it a combination of that and relationship processes?
I think it's a combination of both, at least for me. There's a lot of different financial coaches that are out there. Because my background is in financial advising, when I went into like, oh, how do I help more couples to have power around their money and negotiate these conversations and really tell their money where to go in relationship? Everyone around me said I should become a financial advisor. So I passed a bunch of exams for that and got my licenses and my certifications. And what I saw, Dr. Terry, in meeting after meeting over 4 years was that I would have this couple sitting across from me and they knew what they should be doing with their money, right? Like say they wanted to retire and they knew that I should put in, we should put in, you know, $500 extra a month into our retirement plan, our 401k, our IRA, whatever. Mm-hmm. But they couldn't get on the same page about how to make that happen in the day to day or mm-hmm. in the month to month. And what I realized was after having meeting after meeting, seeing them 6 months later, and they were still having that same conflict, was that nobody was filling this gap to say, let's take a step back and not just assume that people are going to make changes around their finances just because, you know, it's the right thing to do for their future, for example. So I like to say I bridge that gap to take what people want for the future, but then dial it back to the day to day. How do we connect, right? Our everyday choices with those future goals.
Now, one of the things that I have found, Amy, that I'd love to hear your opinion on is that oftentimes when I work with couples, it's not about the money necessarily. It's about what the money represents to each partner. And I have found that for some partners, money represents love. And for others, it represents ego or how well they've done. And for others, it means stability and security, and I can relax. And those meanings sometimes are learned from childhood. Have you found that as well in your working with couples and finances?
I definitely have, and I do really well at partnering with people like you to know how far to go in with folks around those questions, around mm-hmm. those conversations, around those beliefs, and to know when it's time for me to tag out to someone that may be a counselor or a therapist or more professional to go deeper in those conversations. I share that just because, you know, a lot of times I say coach and people think, oh, well, that means a lot of different things. And I try to be really clear around, I wear two different hats. So one is I'm a total money nerd. Spreadsheets are my love language. Like I love going into the numbers and providing that clarity for a couple. But at the same time, Dr. Terry, I wear that hat of a relationship coach. My husband and I have participated in an organization called Couples Coaching Couples for the last 10 years. So I've learned tools to be able to incorporate into these conversations. Mm-hmm. So to your point, I agree with everything you're saying. And how do we get couples to, before we even get into the numbers, everybody thinks I'm going to sit down with a spreadsheet in hand, but so often I'm saying, hey, let's dial it back. Let's start from being curious. Let's start from asking each other questions from a place of curiosity, not from a place of, oh, I want to get somewhere, but like, I'm interested in knowing what questions or, you know, what behaviors you saw about money growing up. Mm-hmm. And asking that question from a place, like I said, of curiosity, and then listening as much as you can as a spouse without judgment or criticism.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's great. That I think that is so important.
It is. It is so challenging around money because it's in our day to day. It's not like we can ignore it. Like, hey, let's not deal with money for a month and see if it goes away, right? It's always going to be there in every conversation. So it's coming from that place of curiosity and trying to understand what people's backgrounds are that we're married to. And then what is it that they really want for the future that maybe they haven't shared because this has been such a stressful, tense area of the relationship.
I like that a lot, Amy, because I don't think we talk enough about money and what it means to us and what we want to do with it in the future in our romantic relationships. Now, why do you think finances is one of the leading causes of relationship stress, tension, conflict?
Well, I think one of the reasons is that we come into relationships and, you know, I'm saying marriage, but this could be anywhere where we're in a partnership and we share money together or deal with money, which is a lot of relationships, even at early stages. But, you know, I think we come into relationship, we come into marriage with different beliefs, experiences, and expectations around money. So you might have, and I find this quite often, that one person in the couple will be someone who's always used credit cards, right? They love the cash back. They love the points. They love seeing, you know, what they get from using that and the flexibility. Whereas another person in the couple may think cash is king. Mm-hmm. And they saw their parents use cash and their colleagues, and they feel comfortable with that. And that can cause stress or conflict. Or you might have one person in the relationship who's super committed to paying off all debt, whereas the other person says, no, I'm okay with carrying some debt. I just really want to make sure we're putting as much as we can into retirement. And again, that can cause stress or conflict. Mm-hmm. Or one person who feels like, you know, I'm looking at all the numbers. I love to track what's happening inside of our bank account. And the other person in the relationship says, yeah, I'm not even interested in opening that bank account. That can cause stress and conflict in a relationship. So it's kind of starting from there to find some middle ground. Mm-hmm. And I often find that one person is somebody in the relationship who manages the bills. And I want to normalize that, that I'm not saying all this has to be 50-50. You're typically going to have someone who's taken on that role. But the other person in the relationship often is doing a lot of, if not the majority, of day-to-day spending. So if you've got the bill payer over here paying the mortgage, the cell phone bill, et cetera, and the other person doing the groceries and the gas and taking kids out for pizza after soccer practice, et cetera, and both people in the relationship feel like I'm doing the best that I can. Like, this is the best that I can, but neither of them is seeing the full picture. Mm-hmm. And that's the piece where I really come in, Dr. Terry, is like mm-hmm. to take the blinders off and say, hey, here's the big picture. You're both seeing it from your own perspective.
Right. And so that is a reason, as I hear you saying, that it's really important for you and your partner to talk about money, to talk about finances, correct?
Agreed. 100%.
100%. Now, here's a question I always get, Amy. So when should couples talk about money? I mean, it's obviously not something couples should do on the first date or even the second or third, perhaps. But what's your opinion about that?
I wish there was a magic date to say, because
I love it. I love how you're even starting. Yes, keep going. Sorry.
I just don't know that there necessarily is. I met with one couple last year, and this gentleman came in and said, I worked so hard for the last 5 years to pay off my student loans. And, you know, I took on extra work. I took on extra jobs. I really cut back on my expenses because I was ready to have the freedom to not be carrying the student loans. And then he met his fiance, who was finishing up her law school degree, carrying with her over $250,000 in student loans. And he said, even from their first date, it had him really question, you know, quote unquote, is this the right person for me? Because he really had envisioned his future going a particular way without the stress of these student loans, and then was considering, you know, he did end up marrying her, but like marrying her and like what that was going to look like going forward. And the reality is he just had a lot of fear around that. So I don't think there's a right time to necessarily talk about money, but I do think you can start conversations early that are things like, what's something that you want to have in your life that you don't necessarily feel like you can create right now with the finances that you have? Or once you're in a relationship and it goes a little bit deeper, you could say, is there anything that you want for yourself or for our relationship that you're not necessarily bringing up because you're afraid that we won't have the money to do it? Now, that may not be an early on conversation, but like the context behind that is, again, coming from a place of curiosity.
That's good. So those are some questions then that listeners can ask a partner to understand how their partner thinks about money and what they are envisioning about finances and money in terms of the future. Is that correct? So those are two great examples.
Yes, definitely. Those are two examples of that. And maybe another question that's even, and again, this could even be before someone gets married, but certainly later on in marriage, to say, like, what do you worry most about with money? What keeps you up at night, for example? And all of these, again, are coming from a place of, I don't really know this, but I want to know this. And I don't know about you, but I've been married to my husband for 15 years. And sometimes I admit that when I ask him a question, I think I already know what the answer is. Mm-hmm. So he'll go to say something, but in my mind, I'm thinking of something else. So I think what's so important inside of conversations around money and personal finances is to keep giving up that we know what the answer is.
Absolutely. Mind reading is not a profitable or effective communication skill, which is exactly what you said, right? Listeners, we've talked about this a lot. Don't assume that you know what's in somebody's mind or heart just because you've been with somebody for 10, 15, or 50 years. But I tend to do that sometimes too, Amy. So it's not just you, and I've been married for 29 years. So, and people always say, but you know you shouldn't, Dr. Terry. It doesn't make me perfect. And we all make mistakes, but absolutely no mind reading. You know, one of the questions I tell my clients who are starting to date is they could even ask the person, you know, on your last vacation, what did you do and where did you go and how did you spend your time? And the answers that that person will give, Amy, about were they staying in a tent or a trailer park or a five-star hotel? What did they do on that vacation? Will give them some understanding of how that other person spends or saves money. What do you think about that question?
Oh, I love that so much. I mean, it is interesting how there's two pieces to it, right? How is it that you're spending money? But also even like, what is going on a great vacation look like to you? Like, what do you want to experience? What things do you want to be doing? But certainly the financial piece is there as well. I love that so much. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that.
We have three questions that listeners can ask somebody to understand how their partner thinks about money. And in your experience, Amy, is it important for partners to be on the same page about money?
Well, I think that's really, for me, that is, if I could say in one sentence, that's what's so important to me about the work that any financial coaches do. I particularly do it with couples, but is to get them on the same page. It does not mean, I am not here to say that everybody has to think about money in the same way. We may uncover some of what our beliefs or expectations are based on how we've seen money used and we've used it ourselves, you know, growing up throughout our lives. But that doesn't mean we're going to A, uncover all of it. And it doesn't mean that we have to be aligned on every single opinion about it either. In my experience, though, often couples do whatever they have to do just to kind of get by. Mm-hmm. And they're not willing to necessarily dig any deeper to really create the futures that they want for themselves. And that's because they've had a conflict in this area. And then they just decide, oh, this is always going to be an issue. Let me avoid that conversation. So I'm here to say, like, you can get on the same page about money, and that doesn't mean agreeing about every last thing.
I like that difference, by the way, that you don't have to agree about everything, but you can get on the same page. Now, I know that you said you help couples as a financial coach get on the same page, and you have three steps that listeners might be able to take away from this program to get on the same page about money. Can you share those with us?
I can. It may take a little bit longer than we have. So I want to say two things.
So maybe one step then.
Sure. And I will just also say that I have a guide on my website that walks people through those steps so they can certainly access that. I mean, I think the biggest piece to start with, Dr. Terry, is what we've already said, is to start with being curious, asking these questions and then listening. That is the crux of everything that I do with my clients, because if not, like, why are we doing it? If we're just doing it because we should be doing better with our money, should will never carry the day. It will never be a lasting why for anybody. So I really want couples to get grounded in that curiosity and then creating a why for, well, why are we even doing this around our finances? You know, is it that we want to have more freedom for the future? Is it that one of us is interested in pulling back on work and starting a business? Is it that we want to have money to be able to send our kid to X, Y, or Z college? So really being grounded in what that why is. And then from a practical, like, financial point of view, those are more the steps that I have in my guide. But something to consider doing is to separate the bills that you have in the day-to-day, right? Those set mortgage, cell phone bill, HOA, car payment, from what is your more day-to-day spending. So that's more things that are, you know, gas and groceries and Starbucks runs and maybe takeout, et cetera. So often folks have all of those mingled together, Dr. Terry, and it can be very hard when you're working on a goal for the future. We're going to pay down this amount of debt every month. We're going to save this amount, right? To really know how much we have for that next goal if we have all of our expenses inside of the same account. So one of the biggest, you know, financial tips that I give to couples is to turn that day-to-day spending into a fixed expense. And the way to do that is to separate it from your bills and set up an account that is just for day-to-day spending and transfer a set amount of money to that either every 2 weeks, every time you're paid, once a month, and only use that account for day-to-day spending. It adds so much clarity to how much you actually have left over next month to month to go towards your future goals.
Wow, so that's a huge tip that you just shared with listeners, Amy. So have a separate account. I'm just going to repeat it so sure. I can make sure that I heard it correctly. Have a separate account that the day-to-day expenses and the specific amount of our day-to-day expenses goes into that account. And I pay those day-to-day bills or expenses or pizza runs or Starbucks coffees from that other account. And the other account that we have would be the long-term goals. Is that correct?
Well, the other account that we have is just for our regular bills. Okay. So, you know, mortgage, HOA, I keep saying HOA, not that many people have an HOA, but like car payment, tuition, things like that. Things that, Dr. Terry, are regular fixed bills.
The reason
the day-to-day spending causes a lot of, I find this is 75% of the stress inside of couples, mm-hmm. is that there's a lot of, we shouldn't be spending so much in this category. You know, why did we spend more on that Amazon purchase, Target run, right? Gas, groceries. So we need to turn that into a fixed expense, just like our mortgages. So that fixed amount of money is what we would put in the second checking account.
I see. Very helpful. Thank you so much. Now, we only have 2 minutes left, Amy.
Okay.
If there's one message that you want people, listeners, to take away from today's program, what might that be in a very short message?
I think my biggest message is to start. That, you know, it doesn't have to be complicated. You don't have to tear apart everything you're doing around your finances. It can actually start just by saying to your spouse over making dinner tonight, hey, I'd like to understand more what you want to accomplish around our finances together. And, you know, listen from a place of curiosity to what they're saying. It can be that easy to start the conversation.
I love that, Amy. Seize the moment, listeners. Hear what Amy is saying. Start tonight and ask a question and listen to your partner's response. Thank you so much, Amy, for joining me today. What a pleasure talking to you.
Oh, thank you. It's my pleasure to be here, Dr. Terry.
Thank you. And again, listeners, if you're interested in learning more about Amy Scott, or her financial coaching, please go to amyscottcoaching.com. And as always, thanks for listening. I appreciate you. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. I'm here to help all your relationships, including the one with yourself, be the best they can be. My personal website is Dr. Terry. TheLoveDoctor.com, where I provide you with science-based relationship advice that's easy to understand and include in your life. So listeners, until next time, be safe, be healthy, and here's to your happy, healthy relationships.